What's been dubbed the worst start to the bushfire season on record has refocused attention on climate change and the possible link to extreme weather events. Firefighters are still battling blazes in Queensland, while authorities in New South Wales are on high alert for new outbreaks fanned by gusty winds and possible dry lightning strikes. A short time ago, we heard from the Cabinet Minister, David Littleproud.
Well, we've been adapting to a changing climate since we first settled this country, and we'll have to continue to do that and do that with the best science we've got available at the time to make sure we keep our Australians safe. Whether it's man-made or not is irrelevant.
That's David Littleproud. A short time ago, the Greens leader is Richard Di Natale. He's in our Parliament House studios. Good morning.
Morning, Hamish.
David Littleproud said whether it's related to man-made climate change is irrelevant. Could you respond?
Well, what he's doing is he's putting the lives of Australians at risk with that statement, Hamish, because the reality is this is yet more evidence that we are in a climate crisis. We're confronting a climate emergency. You've got the Queensland Fire and Emergency Services Inspector saying he's never seen conditions like this so early in the season. He's called it an omen of things to come. You've got firefighters across the country uniting and calling on stronger action when it comes to transitioning away from coal, oil and gas to renewable energy to fight climate change. You've got the public health community, doctors who are at the front line of seeing people affected by the impacts of climate change, calling on the government to acknowledge that we are in a climate emergency. And when you have comments like that from somebody who has the portfolio of disaster management, what you have is a minister who is putting the lives of Australian people at risk.
It's a very significant assertion to make. What do you mean by his statements are putting lives at risk?
Well, if he's not prepared to acknowledge that climate change is a driver of increasing bushfires, extreme weather event, and those things are serious in that they put the lives of Australians at risk, then what he's in fact doing is endangering the lives of Australians. I mean, we've got emergency services personnel across the country screaming out for action from the government because they are at the front line. They witness the carnage that comes with bushfires. Doctors witness people whose lives are lost as a result of heat-related events. And yet here we have a minister refusing to acknowledge that we are in a climate emergency, despite the fact that countries right across the world have declared a climate emergency. We've had many capital cities here in Australia who have declared a climate emergency. Local governments, one of the first of those in Darebin in Victoria, Greens Council declaring a climate emergency. We have right across the country an acknowledgement from people at the front line that we need strong action on climate change to keep Australians safe. And yet the minister is steadfastly refusing to ignore the single biggest threat to the Australian community, and that is the risk of climate change.
What is the proof, though, that climate change has played a part in these bushfires that are occurring right now?
Hamish, we know from the science, and the science is very clear on this, that as a result of climate change, we will see an increased frequency and severity of bushfires. Now, we can get into a discussion about whether this specific fire is climate related, in the same way as we can get into a discussion about whether somebody who dies from lung cancer and was a smoker, whether that was the cause of their lung cancer, in the same way that gun-related violence, and when we see a gun massacre, whether lax gun laws were responsible for that specific event. We can get into that discussion, but it doesn't help advance the conversation. We know that climate change makes bushfires worse, in the same way as we know that lax gun laws make gun violence worse. And the challenge for us as policymakers is to decide whether we're going to ignore that overwhelming body of science, whether we're going to ignore the emergency service workers who are putting their lives at risk in protecting Australians, or whether we're going to continue to see the response from this government, and indeed as reflected by the comments from Minister Littleproud, that climate change is something we shouldn't worry about. And of course, we know where that comes from. We know that they receive massive donations from the coal, oil and gas industry. We know that they've steadfastly refused to even accept the basic science of climate change. And while they do that, they put the lives of Australians at risk.
One of the critical factors in these fires, we are told, has been the presence of tinder dry fuel loads. What is the Greens' policy on hazard reduction burning?
We've always supported a scientific approach to hazard reduction burning. In fact, the Greens have long supported Hazard reduction burning, provided it's done according to the science.
But the term you use is fluctuating hazard reduction burns. What does that mean?
No, the term I use is science-based hazard reduction burns, Hamish. And what that means is ensuring that you burn in a way that's strategic, that protects property and obviously people. And we will continue to support that.
Can I just read what the official Greens policy is to you? It says, the policy is to replace mandatory burn quotas with evidence-based fluctuating hazard reduction burns.
Well, a burn quota serves no purpose if it's done in a region that doesn't protect people. So the bottom line, Hamish, is we've always supported hazard reduction burns consistent with the science, ensuring that we protect people and property. And that's consistent with the findings of Royal Commissions. We will continue to support hazard reduction burns as a mitigation measure. But again, let's not ignore what the greatest driver right now of increasing fire and extreme weather, and that is the impact of climate change.
Certainly not ignoring that. We've put a number of questions to you about that. It's just that Greens do have some influence through sitting on local councils, and there has been questions about Greens' position on hazard reduction.
Well, I'm making that point very clear, Hamish. We support hazard reduction burns done in accordance with the science.
The Greens want Parliament to declare a climate emergency. You've made that point. How would that change things for the people in Stanthorpe right now, in Applethorpe and Binaburra?
Oh, it would make a significant difference in terms of future threats. Obviously, what we need now is we need to ensure, and let me make it really clear, our thoughts and sympathies go out with the many people who are impacted by these extreme fires. But what we need to do is acknowledge that unless we accept that we are in a climate emergency, that we'll see more fires and more extreme weather, then we're going to see more people's lives put at risk. So a climate emergency is accepting the seriousness of the problem. And it appears from the comments from the minister that they simply don't accept that climate change is even a contributing factor to these fires. So with that acknowledgement comes a whole of government response that says we need to do everything we can, both at the acute level in terms of a response to a changing climate, but in terms of prevention. And that means a rapid transition from coal, oil and gas. Let's remember that coal is the single biggest cause of climate change, and Australia is the world's biggest exporter of coal.
Okay.
Unless we've got a plan to transition away from coal, oil and gas to renewable energy and create the hundreds of thousands of jobs that come with making that transition, then we're going to see, tragically, more events like this in the future.
Senator, we've only got you for a short time. I do need to ask you about some other matters. Parliament is back today for a fortnight. The government has a number of bills that it seems, squeeze Labor somewhat. The first is a national rollout of a cashless debit card. It's part of what the Prime Minister is calling a compassionate conservative fix for the welfare system. Given that it's already been trialled in several locations, have you seen any evidence that it's led to less drinking, less gambling, less drug taking?
No, in fact, the evidence from Senate inquiries, and I know my colleague Senator Rachel Sewitz appeared at many Senate inquiries on this and has seen firsthand and heard firsthand that in many communities the cashless welfare card has made the situation worse. Look, it's part of the approach from this government. There's nothing compassionate about beating up on people who don't have a job because we have unemployment in this country. I mean, there are more people than jobs, and that's why we have unemployment, not to mention serious underemployment in the country. It's part of an approach that this government's taken, whether it be with the robo-debt debacle, whether it be through drug testing of welfare recipients, that what we do is punish people who can't find employment. And we know that all that does is make life harder for people who are struggling. We know it drives people into poverty. And what they should be doing is acknowledging that it's their responsibility to actually create jobs in our community. One way to create jobs is to give the economy a stimulus, and we've called for a green stimulus package, investing in infrastructure, in renewable energy projects, in sustainable transport projects, in projects that protect our environment rather than destroy it. And if you create those jobs, you actually go a long way to dealing with the problem of unemployment and people who are relying on income support, rather than punishing people and beating up on them, which is the approach that this government's taken.
Richard Di Natale, thank you.
Thanks, Hamish.
Richard Di Natale is the Greens leader.